Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Southfield and began working in his dad's party stores when he was 5. At age 20, his dad was tragically murdered, and he helped his mom raise 3 younger brothers while earning a law degree. Today, at age 33, he owns a law firm with 20 associates, and 2 years ago started For the Kids Foundation, which helps families with children who have suddenly lost one or both parents. His name, Norm Yatuma, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Norm Yatuma, who formed and owns Norman Yatuma & Associates. Norm, it's an honor to have you. Welcome.
Thank you, Jack. It's an honor to be here.
Can we start with you telling about your childhood and your parents?
Sure. Well, let's see. We grew up in Southfield, as you mentioned. And I was, and still am, the oldest of 4. I have 3 younger brothers who are now, let's see, they are 20, 26, 24, and 22. Jeff, Greg, and Chris. And these 3 guys are a big part of my inspiration and are dear friends to me. So we grew up together with mom and dad, and we grew up what was something of, I think, the typical immigrants' story. We weren't among us, the immigrants, but my father was. Came over from what was always referred to as the old country, from Iraq, when he was just 2 years old, and grew up in his father's stores, working the business from a very young age. At age 11, he was managing the store, and he raised us in much the same way. And my father was a real man of strength, man of character, believed he was going to raise young men of strength and character in the same way that he learned it. So we were out at an early age working hard and learning the value of a dollar. And those are lessons that I didn't appreciate much then, but certainly have come to appreciate since.
Can you talk a little bit about your mom?
Yeah, mom is about the most fabulous woman I've ever known, save only maybe my wife. She has a commitment to her sons unlike any I've ever seen, dating back to biblical times. She's an incredible lady. And she's something of a modern-day Job, Jack. She actually met my father through the loss of her own. My grandfather owned a party store in Detroit and was killed in a holdup. My father ended up buying that store, and that's how he came to know my mother. She's endured a lot in her lifetime and is a faithful woman who has nothing but positive things to say and is a truly inspirational lady.
You're 5 years old. You start working in the family party stores. 1, did you get paid? And 2, what did you do?
I did get paid at 5 years old. I got $5 a day. It was a good living. And I was putting bottles away and emptying the trash and otherwise staying out of trouble behind the bulletproof glass. And when I was old enough, I started doing stock. And at 12 years old, Dad told me I was too old to be coddled with the family job, so he sent me out to make a real living at $2 an hour. When my first job was for the Dairy Queen.
You're at Indiana University. You're studying to be a lawyer. And you get elected to the office of the student body president. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, actually, the trek onto IU was sometime after I was student body president at Taylor University, which was a small Christian liberal arts college. And it was March 10, 93, and I was elected a student body president, which was a fun time. It was a big deal then, and I was calling home to share that news with my parents, and was never able to reach Dad, which wasn't uncommon. I mean, he was a hardworking guy and worked 25 hours a day and 8 days a week. So we traded a couple of calls, and later that evening, on the 11th, after he and I were unsuccessful in reaching each other on the 10th, I ultimately heard a partner at my mother's house who answered the phone and told me that my father was unavailable. And I heard crying in the background. Sorry, Jack, it's Sunday evening, I suppose, so it's okay for me to cry. I can't ever do this during business hours. Of course, no one likes to see their lawyer cry. I found out that my father had been killed. And I was told then that he died in a car accident, but when I was driven home by my dean of students then, and I had my then-girlfriend, now my darling wife, Nicole, with me, when I got home in the middle of the night, I found out that my father had been killed in a carjacking. He was shot twice in the head, and thankfully, I died instantly.
You're 20 years old. You're left with your mom. You're left with three younger brothers. What did you do?
Well, initially I panicked. Well, we were, you know, remarkably overwhelmed. Of course, we were frightened. And we didn't really know what to do. I mean, no one is prepared for something like that. You know, there was no preparation. There was no time to say goodbye to Dad, no time to get things in order. Everything was just fine on Wednesday, and on Thursday, the floor was pulled out from under us. So, you know, we just really huddled together as a family and tried to find our way out of it. And it was a long and arduous battle. I mean, it was a real wreck for a long time. You know, my father had a hard-earned living, but made a good living. And it was inside of 6 months that all that seemed to dissipate. What lawyers didn't take from us, creditors did. And we didn't really have anybody left to run the businesses, to help with the economics. And in a very short period of time, we found ourselves broke and without much direction. But I'll say that we've had a lot of good people around us and have been blessed to be surrounded by good people at a church and our wonderful pastor and some real special people in our family. And with God's grace and their support, we were able to pull our way through.
You don't seem to be bitter, Norm.
Oh, I couldn't be bitter. No, I'm blessed. I've got a lot to be very happy about. I have an incredible wife who loves me unconditionally. I have two darling daughters who don't know better. And I have a mother who, as I say, is more committed to her sons than any woman could be. I have wonderful brothers who are dear friends and dear friends who are like brothers. I've got a great business. I have a full head of hair. I've got no reason to be bitter at God or anybody for that matter.
We're talking to Norm Yatuma, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Norm Yatuma, the chairman and general counsel of Charity Motors.
That's right, helping those who help others.
So, Norm, your dad dies. There are 63 claims filed against the family estate. And you were the one that took all those issues on. What did you learn about lawyers, and why did you decide to become a lawyer?
I learned to hate lawyers, and I decided to become a lawyer because, well, candidly, I'd been a lawyer in the making since the beginning of time. My father had introduced me to anybody and everybody as my son, the attorney. I talked too much from the very beginning, so he thought I'd be better served billing for it. And you know, I've always enjoyed presentation and persuasion, and maybe too much, my father might tell you, argument. So lawyering seemed like a natural fit. It became a necessary fit, really, after the debacle that my family went through. And, you know, law school was a great learning tool in getting through the estate. We had, goodness, I mean, 63 claims. It was more than any that the Oakland County clerk had seen in any estate before ours. The estate was open for 10 years after my father passed. And I learned, frankly, quite a bit of disdain for lawyers, because many of them took a great deal of advantage of us. And we were certainly a very unsophisticated client, and had a lot of trouble and a lot of people trying to get some of my father's hard-earned money. And they did. I mean, as I said, inside of 6 months, we were broke. And we were being threatened with foreclosure. I don't mean broke like had to drive the 5 series rather than the 7 series. I mean could not make the house payments, could literally not afford groceries, could not afford tuition for a school. My brothers were, you know, formerly accustomed to going. We were all going to a private Christian school at the time, at Southfield Christian School, my younger brothers were. Couldn't afford anything. And we had school loans. I had school loans coming in for Taylor University, and actually a gentleman by the name of Darl Yost, who was then the provost of Taylor University, made a personal loan to me for my schooling so that I could use our school loans then to pay for the expenses of the family. So that's what helped to get us through in the short term. And ultimately, we were able to survive those 63 claims, and I did become a lawyer and started practice at Butts Along, and had some very good people there actually help me to begin to wind up the estate. The estate wasn't ultimately closed until I started my own firm. But I don't know, you learn a lot about people through that process, Jack. It was unimaginable to me that cash flow could be thicker than blood flow, but even family sued. You know, we were in litigation with people who we were spending Christmas with in years past. It was a really sad and difficult time, but at the same time, it served to really shape the nucleus of our family and forged relationships among my brothers and my mother and some dear people in our family that are stronger and tighter than any we could have otherwise hoped for.
Recently at lunch together, you said this, and I quote, "Losing my father was the worst thing that ever happened to me and the best thing that ever happened to me."
Yeah. Well, it was the worst for all the obvious reasons. It was, you know, it's a very tragic time, and I miss him dearly. Even now, 13 years later, as we're discussing it, you can see I'm struggling to get through the conversation. I would do anything, and I mean quite literally anything, to have him back, to have a day with him. At the same time, it's an experience that has really served to narrow and sharpen my focus. It has in many ways defined my purpose, and I don't think that I would have had many of the successes that I've had, personal and professional, many of the opportunities that I've had, without having gone through a tragedy like that. Which is why, even with our foundation, our motto is to bring tenderness to tragedy and to turn tragedy into triumph. There are simply things that you learn about people, that you find in yourself, in dealing with a tragedy that you don't otherwise have the opportunity to find. And I'm thrilled with where life is today, and I'm excited to have had a unique opportunity in seeing my father impact even more people in his death than he did during his lifetime.
Why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah, that's a really tough question to answer. I guess I'd like to think it's because good people can turn bad things into great opportunities. And I don't want to throw myself any bouquets, but I think certainly with the benefit of the people around us, that we've been able to take a very bad thing and make some real good things out of it. And I believe very firmly, Jack, in that good comes to those who love the Lord. And all things really do, and all things really have, work together for good for those who love God. Certainly that's been my experience and the experience of our family.
You've spent a lot of time with families who have experienced tremendous tragedy. What do you tell these people?
I tell them what I just told you, that all things really do work together for the good of those who love God, and that this too will pass, and that with some prayer, perspective, and perspiration, there's little that you can't accomplish. And I'll tell you, I've already had the opportunity to see some of those people through this foundation who have received maybe a couple of years ago services of the foundation, who are now helping to offer those services to others.
You're 28 years old. You've got a very successful career with Butzel Long, one of the best in town. And you leave and you start your own firm.
Yeah.
Today you have 12 lawyers and 8 support staff. Why did you start your own firm?
Well, a lot of reasons. Butzel was a great place, still is a great place, and I learned a lot there, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity I had to be at Butzel Long. But I've, had a lot of good opportunities, and frankly, I was raised to be an entrepreneur. That was Dad's spirit, and he instilled it in all of us, and it was probably not going to be too long where I was going to ultimately become my own boss and own my own business. And there's simply been more opportunities like this foundation available to me in owning my own shop.
We're talking to Noam Yetuma, and when we come back, we'll ask him about For the Kids Foundation. I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Noam Yetuma, who's 33 years old. Noam, For the Kids Foundation, can you tell us about it?
Yeah, For the Kids Foundation is an organization that we started on Father's Day, 2003. It is, I mentioned earlier, an organization who is committed to bringing tenderness to tragedy and turning tragedy into triumph. And specifically, we are focused on helping families who were situated much like mine was when our father passed. We're helping kids who have lost a parent and the surviving parent in the instance that there is one. And we're trying to do everything imaginable, Jack. We are providing financial assistance, grief counseling, legal help, accounting assistance, budget development, household services, car repair, vocational training, mentoring. We are doing everything from putting the widow or the widower and certainly the kids into counseling to paying the mortgage, buying and delivering groceries, mowing the lawn, fixing the car, you name it. We're doing absolutely, positively everything we can to replace some semblance of that lost parent's mentoring hand. Losing a loved one is tragic in any way, shape, or form. It's tough to lose anyone that's close to you. But for a child to lose their parent, they're losing so much more than just a precious member of their family. They're losing a mentor, a provider, a protector, a counselor. And in a lot of ways, they're losing their hope and their direction. It was very much that way for us. I mean, we were just confused for so long. We didn't know what to do or who to ask for help. This organization is designed to provide some of that focus, some of that assistance, and to relieve the families of the sorts of burdens that kids shouldn't have to deal with until they become moms and dads themselves. So the family can really focus on grieving and then healing in their own right without having to be burdened by the day-to-day hassles of life.
We're talking to Noam Yetuma, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Noam Yetuma, who started For the Kids Foundation in honor and in memory of his late dad. Currently, this foundation is helping 60 families. Can you share with us, Noam, a few of the stories?
Yeah, sure. I'd love that. Actually, about a year ago, there was a story about a young Detroit police cadet who was killed on the streets of Detroit just a week before graduating from the program, minding his own business. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he left behind a darling little boy who carried his name. That family, as you might expect, was left in complete shambles. And we got in there with that little one, and we put him in some karate classes so he could learn some discipline in the absence of dad. Put him in a mentoring program, counseling for him and his mom. And we did a lot with grandma there too, because grandma was a big part of what was left of the nucleus of that family. And we were able to go in with volunteers from all walks of life, and we have them from all walks of life. We have over 200 volunteers at the organization, Jack. And we had some guys come in and completely fix up the house, rebuilt bathrooms and kitchens, and we repaired the car, delivered groceries to the family, to both grandma and to our young widow for several months, took over rent payments, and we're really able to help to get this family back on their feet, to give them a few months to do little but focus inward on the situation of trying now to raise a young boy as a single mom. There is, frankly, no greater experience for me. I mean, I'm a trial lawyer, so I spend most of my day making people miserable. So when I'm able to share events, opportunities like this, and see peace and relief just fall on people with the assistance of all these wonderful people who have volunteered their time and their money and their resources to our foundation so that we can dedicate it to people like these, it's the best thing that I could ever ask for. It's the best way I can spend my day before I go home to my wife and daughters. That was a very special family for me because I was personally involved in that one and was able to interact with this widow and with grandma and with this sweet young boy on a very personal level. And I'll never forget the look of this little guy's face. I mean, it burned in my memory forever. We've had a lot of experiences very similar to that. A lot of experiences that have been handled by our program services director, by our development director, by the dozens of wonderful ladies who have volunteered their time with our intake committee who will go out and make these visits in these homes. We had a sweet lady who I know doesn't mind being mentioned by name because she's done a couple of interviews with the foundation. Her name is Monica Shaw, and she lost her husband 2 years ago to a drunk driver. It's a terrible accident. He was just walking and hit by a car and actually dragged for 2 miles, had a horrible death. Died on his son's birthday. And she was training then to be an EMT, had to drop out of training because she had no one to watch her young one. And when she did this last interview, she said the sweetest thing. She said, you know, until I was called and asked if I could speak about the foundation, I forgot it was a foundation that I was dealing with. I just look at them as friends. I just call these people up and I ask them for help when I need it, and I talk to them when I need someone to talk to. I pray with them when I need someone to pray with, and they've just been there to help. I thought there's really no greater compliment we could have received than to have been referred to as friends, as opposed to some ambivalent organization who is writing occasional checks. And we did for her. You know, we furnished her home. She had no furniture and no capacity to buy any furniture. We put furniture in her home. We've helped her to get back into that training program she was in and have provided the funds for her to do that. Have helped pay utility bills and rent payments, and have put that sweet little Darren into counseling and a mentoring program, and they're doing great today. And she's a wonderful example of what we hope our families are becoming. She is a precious lady who has a healthy, vibrant perspective on life and doesn't view herself as being disadvantaged, as it being a victim at all. She views herself as having new opportunities, a new lease on life, and she's a very grateful woman. And she is the kind of person that we long to pour into. And I'll tell you, that young man, young Darren, who is 3 years old now, is going to grow up to be a wonderfully well-adjusted, healthy, powerful young man, because he's going to mother who is focused to make him so, and I'm thrilled the foundation's been able to have any part in that at all. But that has been our role generally with the families, to provide whatever unique program we can that's catered specifically to the family. Most of them certainly have a financial element, that much is true, but some of them require just direction and just a little bit of help and finding out how mom's going to ultimately be able to make a living to provide for her family herself, because the foundation can't do it indefinitely. And some of them need just some very practical assistance around the house. For others, like those that we helped out this Christmas, they were experiencing their first Christmas ever without mom or dad. And that's still, for my brothers and I, a very difficult memory. Our first Christmas without dad was a tough time. It was a very empty holiday, where it was otherwise a real big celebration of family. We were trying to create activity as a distraction and did so pretty unsuccessfully. So here we thought we would focus on our families that were having their first Christmas ever without mom or dad, or in one instance without either. And we tried to just give them the best distraction they could ever hope to have. We had, for all of our families, we delivered gifts to the children and a meal to mom or dad or the grandparents who are caring for the kids. But for three families in particular who are having their first Christmas without mom or dad, we just tried to knock their socks off, knowing then that when they look back on their first Christmas, they'll remember this as a big part of the first holiday they spent without that parent. For two of our widows, they had no cars. So we showed up with a car busting full of gifts. Front seat, back seat, trunk, everything these kids could ask for. I mean, from the coats and boots and shoes, and clothes and games and food. And they spent hours out in the front lawn on that Christmas Eve morning opening up these gifts that was delivered to them by Santa Claus. And then we threw mom the keys and left her the car behind. And we just got the best, most honest, genuine expressions of gratitude you could ever hope to have. It was, for me, the best Christmas Eve I've had. Ever.
Family after family, as you deal with them, what do you learn from these beneficiaries? What do you learn from these families?
You know what I've learned through these families, as well as the people that have given of themselves to aid these families, that people really are inherently good, which was a tough lesson for me, because, you know, having experienced the loss of my father in the way that I did, you know, losing him to a murder, it was very easy, having lived through that, having gone through the problems we went through with all those creditors and all those lawsuits and the attorneys who took advantage of us, it was very easy to view people as inherently bad. But we've seen very good people in this process, people who are really digging down and reaching in and just looking for a little extra assistance, and people who have been blessed in life, like a Mike Feezy, who's the president and GM here of WJR, like a Mike George from Melody Foods, or a Hugh Perkins, or, and the list goes on, of people who have donated of their time, their resources, to give back to these people. We've seen so much about how people really are inherently good. It's been a real encouraging time for everybody associated with the foundation to be able to participate in this, and a real encouraging time for these families to see people willing to give them themselves. And as I say, the best reward we've had is watching these families who have turned around a couple of years later and are now among those that are giving back.
We're talking to Norm Yatuma, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Norm Yatuma. Norm, it's one thing for the boss and his wife to get committed to something. It's another thing to convince your 20 associates to also get involved and to share, you know, time and efforts Monday to Friday. How did you ever convince your 20 associates to help you?
It's not a hard sale. One of the first survivors that we ever helped, I met in court. I was there on a court appearance, actually, on behalf of Capital One, and I saw a young widow trying to defend herself as she was being lambasted with claims. Poor thing. This lady had more debt than she could have ever quantified. And she had a judgment after judgment being handed down against her. That was the first exposure that one of my lawyers, along with myself, had received to what was going to be a future beneficiary of the foundation. And we talked to her out in the hallway, and we said, look, we can help you with some of this. We can help you with this litigation, and we're going to do it free of charge. And all we ask for is that, you know, you'll sit down with one of our financial planners and allow them to help you get a handle on your budget. And that when you're in a better position, you'll come back to us and help us offer some assistance to some people who are otherwise situated like you are today. And she cried in the hallway. And today is one of those ladies who is aiding other beneficiaries of our foundation. But I'll tell you, the lawyer that I had with me at the time was overwhelmed. And I couldn't have kept him from offering his assistance to this young widow. I couldn't have kept him from doing it. Forget the fact that the idea of a volunteer lawyer would make some laugh and others shudder. He and everybody else in my office has given their time, and they've given it really graciously because they get to see, unlike some others, they get to see it firsthand what's going on in this foundation, and they get to see those beneficiaries coming into the building. The foundation, the firm, are run out of the same building. And there's no satisfaction in all the world like being able to participate in someone's recovery and someone's relief. So for them, I really think it's therapeutic.
How can our listeners learn more about For the Kids Foundation?
Well, you can certainly give us a call, and we'll talk your ear off. Or you can find us on our website. Our toll-free number is 888-987-KIDS, K-I-D-S. Or you can look us up at forthekidsfoundation.org. And there's all the information you could hope to have there on our website, including, if you don't mind me mentioning this briefly, including the information about our upcoming event, which is our next big fundraiser, which is going to be at Oakland Hills. It is a dinner, auction, and golf event, which will be July 9 and 10. July 9 will be Sunday evening will be our dinner and auction, and the 10th will be our golf outing. It is being co-sponsored by, in addition to my firm, WJR. Mike Feasey is actively involved and has been a huge aid, and Michigan State University. In fact, you'll have a chance to come out and golf with Tom Izzo and John L. Smith and others. So it'll be a wonderful event, and 100% of our proceeds, as are all of our proceeds, Jack, from every event that we do, 100% of our proceeds go directly to our program services.
You and your wife, Nicole, have two young daughters.
We do, Olivia and Gabriella.
We've got some listeners tonight who are in their early 30s, late 30s, and they say, boy, we should give back. We should help. But, Norm, we can't. We don't have the time. We're too busy. We're chasing the almighty dollar. We have to pay off. We've got that second home. We wish we could do it. What do you say to them?
Well, people invest their money in that which their heart is already invested. And people invest their time in that which their heart is already invested. This was a decision that my wife and I made a long time ago. We didn't have the resources a long time ago to get a foundation up and running. We started this foundation 10 years after my father's murder, when we had been blessed and had an opportunity to give some back. And I would say everybody's got that opportunity. People make time for that which is important to them. And people invest themselves, their resources, in that which is important to them. So I would say to any other couple in their 30s who are chasing the almighty dollar and busy raising kids, they can do it. They can do it if it's a priority. And, you know, they can do it in many different ways. Not everybody has to start a foundation. They can participate with ours. They can participate with others. There's a lot of wonderful organizations out there. And sometimes what you can't do in time, you can do with a check. And if you can't write the check, you can volunteer some of your time. Like as I say, we have over 200 people, Jack, who give us their time. Not only lawyers and accountants, but people in household services and car repair who will do anything from fixing a roof, to fixing a leak, to fixing a carburetor, to counseling someone on handling their budget, to helping to probate an estate, who might not have the ability to write a check, but who give us their time. And for those who prefer to write a check rather than take time out of their day, hey, we're happy to have them too. Because it doesn't take a lot of money to help these kids. It really doesn't, because so many people give their time for free. We can do a very lot for a very little.
Your mom lost her dad to murder. Your mom lost her husband to murder. And she has a very strong faith. How do you explain that?
She's a tough lady to explain. She is. But I would say she is truly someone who has made stepping stones out of what others may have seen as stumbling blocks. And she is committed to seeing great things come out of her time here on earth and has worked diligently to do that. And I know that she is convinced that if nothing else, she will find success in the lives of her sons. And she takes a great deal of satisfaction out of assisting her boys in making something out of themselves. But for her faith, Jack, she wouldn't be alive to talk about it. She has raised her sons up in that way, and I'm very grateful for it. But she is a unique woman to have that kind of strength of character to continue to be able to honor her family and honor her God through what she's lived through.
The person or people that murdered your dad has never been caught.
No.
What would you say to them?
Well, it'd be a mouthful, I'm sure. And I would suspect the first mouthful or two, you probably couldn't air. But, you know, Jack, I spent probably the first year after my father died hating with everything in me those people. And, you know, we never really knew much about what happened. Some said there were two guys, others said there were one. It took me some time to come to a position where I could forgive these people, not even knowing who they were. And I had to do that so that I could move on in my life as a productive person. I've come to a point, frankly, where I genuinely feel bad for them. I feel bad for people who have such a low value for life and for love as people do, who can simply take it, who can snuff it out with so little regard. And I think that's what I tell them.
A lot of 40, 45, 50, 55-year-old people in this area are facing huge change in their lives because of Big Three, etc., Tier 1, Tier 2. You interact with families every day who have experienced unbelievable overnight change. What would you say to these people that are facing huge changes in their lives?
Change is an opportunity for great things. You know, like we talked about earlier, you know, losing my father was the worst thing and the best thing that ever happened to me. I certainly would never have been able to forecast that before I lost him. But change can be an opportunity for great things. And I would say to those people, like I said to you earlier, through prayer, perspective, and perspiration, there's very little you can't accomplish. And a healthy perspective on life and on change in particular can be a very productive opportunity.
You're also the chairman and general counselor of Charity Motors.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, Charity Motors is a great organization. Started by Rick Frazier about 10 years ago now. Charity Motors helps people who have no opportunity for transportation, so we provide transportation to people who otherwise couldn't afford it. And we take the proceeds from those sales and donate to other charities, giving away about $40,000 a week right now through Charity Motors.
Norm, I think your dad, Manuel, up in eternity, is more proud of his son and his sons than any other dad up there. Keep making them proud. And thanks for all you do.
It's kind of you, Jack. Thank you.
Our guest next Sunday will be the Detroit Pistons Hall of Famer and founder of the Bing Group, Dave Bing. who, at age 5, a nail went through one of his eyes. Just imagine if that man had 2 good eyes, what he would have done on the court. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because anything is possible. Spahome.